You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we have our 50% offer for our VR Forecaster report and all our newsletters with the promo code HALFOFF. So you go to VRTrader.com. And when you get to the order page, the promo code section, you enter half off, you get half off of, and particularly the forecast model, which is very timely for our clients this year, covering many of the major markets. Anyway, any of the products, including our blockchain letter, which is something I also strongly urge you to take a look at, along with our metals research letter, and our even our cannabis letter is part of the list of entries there, so take a look.
Yeah, and if you wonder how good is Mark, Mark was ranked one of the top all-time gold timers in the world by the last edition of the Timer Digest. Not a bad record, Mark.
Thank you.
Are you a financial advisor?
No, not currently. I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but we do publish our newsletter and have done so since, believe it or not, 1979.
Wow. Well, just 3 years after I graduated from high school, I think.
Wow. Time flies. Yep.
Yeah, it does.
It sure does. I tell you. Well, the market helps make it happen, too. So keep you busy.
How would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now? The last time I checked today on Thursday, everything was in the red except the Toronto Venture Exchange, which is commodities like gold and copper and silver.
Right. Gold into new highs again today. Mm-hmm. Silver creeping up back toward its high from a few months ago, just about getting there. Gold shares doing well as along with that. Some commodities are also ticking up, which we have on our list. Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of talk about gold standard here in the U.S. with Donald Trump backing the bonds with gold or treasuries with gold. This haven't heard much in the last week or two about auditing the Fort Knox to see if the gold is really in there. I have my own suspicions that it probably isn't, but I don't think we're going to get that audit. I have a gut feeling that, and had for many, many years, that it's not really there, and they're not going to go in there and you know, examine every vault and you know, test each block of bar of gold to see if it's real or not, because as you and I know, there's some phony bars out there as well around the world. So if that's really true and they really isn't there, and they probably, like I said, I don't think we're going to get to that point, you know, gold would explode beyond belief. Imagine, you know, it could double or triple. I mean, it could be $10,000 an ounce or something crazy if suddenly the world's largest supply of gold really isn't there. So I have a feeling that that realization is not going to come, you know, to us, because we won't have that opportunity. That's just my gut feeling. I guess I'm a bit of a cynic, but there hasn't been an audit of the gold in Fort Knox since the 1970s, and it was only one vault that they went into. So, you know, I actually published some articles or articles out there that think that we've been robbed, that the gold's not really there. But, you know, I could be wrong. But in any event, to answer your question, yep, the gold market is a standout today. And, you know, the market as a whole is in this cyclical, choppy time frame, which we've talked about. You know, we're looking for, you know, the end of March as a possible low point, which has so far been the case. But, you know, it could stretch on. You know, there's an expression, so it may go away. You know, maybe get a rally, and then you have another little bit of pullback. But I think this is just a corrective phase. A lot of it is news-driven, you know, worry about the tariffs and what their impact are going to be. And I'm not going to make any, you know, political comments here. I'm just saying that is what it is. So hopefully it works out, you know, for the best. And, you know, in the very short term, you know, everybody looks to one every day to another news item or a new indicator, looking for hopefully the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates, which is irrelevant, I think, to what's really happening out there. Because believe it or not, the economy still seems to be okay, even though there may be some additional costs. For example, you know, automobiles, for example, particularly those are imported, could go up substantially in price here in the U.S., and that could be a bit of a negative. But on the other hand, crude oil has backed off a bit. And, you know, the cheaper crude oil, the better, puts more money in people's pockets for less gasoline expense. And tomorrow, I think Friday, is they're going to have the holding their breath. It's all a bunch of nonsense. The PCE report is coming out. And, you know, the PCE is the personal consumption expenditures index. You know, I don't, you know, from my commentary, I don't really trust government numbers anyway, industry-related numbers. You know, consumer price index and things like that, only ones that are generated by the industry I really pay attention to. But in any event, one of the reasons I don't like it, you know, it's supposed to measure spending of goods and services by households as a gauge of inflation, and that's supposed to come out Friday morning. But similar to the CPI, which is different, that's a consumer price index. This is a different index. The personal consumption expenditures index, they're all crazy. It excludes food and energy prices. So anyway, I think it's a false index because that's part of what we spend. And so anyway, the street is looking for a good number. I don't know what that good number is. I really could care less. It just, these numbers are revised often, and they're, you know, the hope is that if it's low enough, you know, the Fed has more reason to lower rates, but they don't talk about what the Fed does besides that, you know, money supply and all kinds of other shenanigans involved, and they don't talk about the U.S. Treasury printing money left and right, and even Ben Bernanke was talking about it back in 2008 when he was a Fed chairman, how when they push a button and they literally just print money. So it's such a game, a shenanigans game, that it's just really hard to get your head around the whole thing. So, you know, bottom line is, you know, rates are probably going to come down for political other reasons, and whether that turns the market or whether there's some, you know, economic factors that turn it around, or peace in Ukraine or peace in the Mideast and, you know, other variables. But, you know, I'm still more in the bullish camp. I just think you needed a correction here. You know what 2026, 2027 is going to be like. You know, have to take it each day at a time. Usually, from what I read, the second year of the presidential term could be a corrective year. That is next year. So, you know, these are all variables I guess investors have to be looking at and dealing with here. But, you know, right now, really short term, you know, we just got some sectors we're watching, some cycles we're watching. For those who follow, as I do, the lunar cycle, there's a full moon on Saturday. So, you know, maybe that's coincident with a little higher low point in the market. And besides that, you know, we got April Fool's Day coming up on the 1st, and the 2nd, the day whether Donald Trump's going to formally announce the final tariff numbers. So everybody's holding their breath for April 2nd. Day after April Fool's Day, and you know, markets become you know tradable, and a lot of, you know, volatility here. You know, big names like Tesla have come down big, and then they rally big, and you know, stock rallied almost 50 points here in the last 2-3 days after dropping, you know, 150 or more points quickly. So you know, there's a lot of action out there for, you know, people that are, you know, trading the market, as I try to do occasionally myself. So I just think it's, you know, a very exciting time out there. But, you know, I think you just got to be aware that the dust has to settle here a little bit short term. And I think we're off and running again to the upside this year. So I'm still remaining positive. And you're getting off a bit of a tangent here. You know, I'm still focusing on other markets, including the crypto market, which I still think has some great potential here with, you know, Donald Trump's plan to create a crypto, I guess, storage of some kind. You know, we're going to talk a central bank digital currency grouping, and then a Bitcoin reserve. So there's supposed to be two types of, it's actually a digital asset stockpile is going to be created, which he's proposing, and a Bitcoin reserve in addition to that. So these things will have to be legislated, and it's going to take a little time for all the paperwork to get done and or approved. So those are other things to, that should be interesting and unfolding this year into next year. So anyway, short-term markets are in a little bit of a indigestion here. You know, we had a big run-up, and as you know, I was looking for a pullback following, you know, the December cyclical peak into March. So the little shakeout we've seen doesn't come of any surprise to me. And, you know, the real question is, is it over or not? And we're sort of floundering around here. A lot of it's news-driven. I think after May or so, into the summer and fall and winter, we should be off and running to the upside. So that's sort of my overall take.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, is there anything going on with uranium?
Uranium has been in a downtrend, you know, for a good part of the year. If you look at the uranium chart, it's been, you know, it's just been slowly on a 45-degree angle going down. I check it every week, and I'm talking about the physical uranium that's produced. So it's been weak, and it ran up big the year prior, and last year, I guess, anticipation of whatever, you know, is it the new plants that are being brought back to life or proposed? And as we, I know I'm just speculating here, you know, maybe just got ahead of itself because it takes time to get all this new nuclear energy underway. So, I still think a stock like Cameco, which is Canadian uranium company, you know, still is a good place to have some of your money. This is a big picture, it's okay, but it's been in a correction, and it's, you know, giving some signs of bottoming, but not totally clear. But I think it's a bit still long term and makes sense.
Anything happening on the cannabis front?
It's funny you should mention that. Just been a little uptick here the last couple of days, a couple low price ones in our letter. There's no particular reason for it. Actually, most of the news is sort of negative. 420 is coming up. That's the big, that's April 20th. That's the big day that marijuana, cannabis, aficionados, you know, have a big stoner holiday, and it's been going on for many, many years, as you probably know. But at the department, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration here in the U.S., actually is promoting a video contest for April 20th, calling Anti-420 Day, which encourages young people to submit short videos and flood the social media with their anti-THC messages. So, that's really confusing to me. You know, there was all this discussion for the last year and a half that the DEA was going to loosen and redirect the classification of cannabis from Schedule 1 down to 3, making it more available and so forth. So apparently there's a change of heart over there, and they're becoming restrictive again on a certain level. So a lot of the cannabis companies were sort of counting on the reclassification of marijuana here in the U.S. And this note I just read here about this DEA promoting this contest, and that's only one piece of the puzzle. You know, the piece is the Banking Act, which hasn't been passed here, hasn't gone through Congress yet, which would say that marijuana is not illegal. And once it's illegal federally, except in states, you know, the IRS treats companies as illegal companies in terms of the way they report their taxes and what deductions they can make, if any. So it's a real mess. But despite that, a couple of small stocks, I noticed the last few days, are upticking a little bit. So it just could be speculators, thinking they're so damn cheap, maybe they're worth a little knee-jerk rally of some kind. But there's still business out there. Still people use cannabis, CBD. That's big in the retirement communities, particularly in the Sun City type places. Older folks, including myself, because I guess I'm in that category now, so to speak, use it and love it. So there's still business being conducted. I mean, it's not like it's a zero business game here, but it's for some reason the stocks haven't caught fire and there's still all these regulatory restrictions out there. So long-winded response is there might be a little speculation here for traders, but it's not a clear sign of a bottom yet.
Well, in Canada, cannabis became legal October 17th, 2018 across the nation, but it's up to each province to regulate where and when and how it can be sold.
Right, and here we don't have that overpowering affirmation. Each state here makes its own determinations, but there have been stories in the last couple of years, I don't know if that's still happening or not, where Fed agents could come in and arrest people for, you know, transporting marijuana, even though it's legal within a given state. And there's been a lot of controversy about that nonsense. So, yeah, there's still a lot of mixed feelings here about where all this is going. Like I say, there are some companies that do a lot of cannabis business and have been, from what I understand, doing well. So, but their stocks are not reflecting it. And I think that regulatory atmosphore is a big problem. So, I've been focusing more on the opportunity, you know, in the crypto area. I mentioned this a moment ago because of what's planned over the next year and a half here in the U.S. Hopefully that comes to fruition with regard to a Bitcoin coin reserve and a digital asset stockpile and the legislation and international usage of so many of these cryptos and so forth. So the way we had a big run in cannabis hopefully is coming for some of the crypto names. I'm sort of focusing more on that, but again, that's going to take a little time here until this legislation is ironed out, because you have to have the rules in place. You know what I mean? They're not all set yet. It's sort of been a helter skelter here with the regulatory atmosphere here in the U.S. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, for the last several years has sort of been anti-crypto, giving all the cryptos a hard time, and now the new SEC chairman and staff are more accommodative to it. A lot of companies are now trying to register exchange-traded funds, ETFs, for various cryptos. The most notable, of course, is the ones for Bitcoin. There's a couple out there. BlackRock, with Larry Fink, was involved with one of them, ticker symbol IBIT, which came out last spring. But other cryptos are registering with the Securities and Exchange Commission here to get ETFs for those various cryptos as well. So if you remember, you know, when the Bitcoin crypto became active last spring, you know, Bitcoin took off because, you know, people start buying these ETFs. The managers have to go out and buy the physical coins to satisfy the demand. So that's up and coming, you know, and I can't predict it would have the same explosive effect that it had with the Bitcoin ETF, but it could. So, that's just an exciting area out there that we're keeping an eye on.
On the geocosmic front, is there anything we should be watching?
Well, according to spaceweather.com, it's funny you should ask, they say there's a solar windstorm happening right now. And I'm going to read this. It says today, this is today, the 27th, the sun is blowing a gale around the Earth plasma, escaping from a giant hole in the sun's atmosphere, blowing around our planet as fast as 1.8 million miles per hour. Believe it or not. As a result of the solar wind storm, minor G1 to moderate G2 geomagnetic storms are possible on March 27th. So there might be some more auroras up there in the northern atmosphere. And beyond that, I don't know what else we're going to see, but there is some activity happening right here. And this is being reported by scientists who track the solar wind and so forth. So that is geocosmic, and it is happening now. And, of course, as I mentioned, we have a lunar cycle this Saturday, so we shall see.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll answer those questions for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time.
Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.